Good afternoon. Welcome in. It's Christian Arcand, Andy Hart, WEEI Afternoons. It's a Patriots Monday here. We are live at Gillette Stadium. Nice to have you with us here today on not a victory Monday, moral victory Monday maybe. I know Andy Hart feels that way. I have mixed feelings about that game we just saw. Don't really have mixed feelings about Drake May. I like what I saw from him. What you just heard there was his first touchdown, pass, I should say, as a professional. And in a lot of ways, you can look at that game and feel optimistic about Drake May and what you have there. I think that there are certainly a lot of things to like about the performance that you saw. I think there are some things here that I still have very mixed feelings about when I look back at that game and look at the rest of the roster outside of Drake May and maybe a handful of other guys. But let's go ahead and start there. That was the first touchdown of the game. They were already down 14-0. A minute left in the first half. For the first time all season, they treated the end of the first half like it wasn't a fire drill where they're all running around burning to death. They actually put something together. They put a drive together. May hit some guys in stride. They got a couple penalties as well. And then the booty call, which you heard right there, as a beautiful throw right in the bucket. And first touchdown on the board. Things got pretty bad in the second half, kind of right away. And while May did have a good day overall, he did make some mistakes that led to some points for the Houston Texans, who end up winning big. But I think in general, and I know I'm on the minority here, I think in general it seems like a lot of people are very happy and very relieved by what they saw. I still have some misgivings about the entire process that went into this season, that went into drafting Drake May, the roster that's put around him, and everything else. But we'll get to that in a second. Andy, I heard you on the Six Rings postgame show with Fitzy. I know you guys are excited. We just heard Jones and Keefe. I know they're excited. Why are you so excited?
I have no misgivings. I have no mixed feelings. The 2024 Patriots entered modern football on Sunday. They have a quarterback. They have a quarterback that can throw the ball down the field. They have a quarterback that can run and utilize his athleticism. It's not the be-all, cure-all, end-all by any means, but a week after watching the worst football game I've ever seen with mine own two eyes, I was excited. I was entertained. I saw hope for the future. I saw what Gerard Mayo talked about when he said this year is about setting a foundation and figuring out what we have and what we don't have. I saw the reason you took Drake May with the number 3 overall pick. I saw signs that those of us that believed there were 3 franchise quarterbacks available atop the draft, take the one that falls to you at 3, were right, because we also have continued to see Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels do good things with their football teams. To me, that was the biggest factor. You entered the world of entertaining football, which is a massive step forward for this offense. 3 touchdown passes. So that's how many more than Jacoby Brissett had in the first 5 games total? That'd be one more.
One more.
One more already. At least two passes that went over 35 yards. That's more than I believe he had all year. The only long pass they had was the Hunter Henry screen pass.
Right.
I don't count that. That's a screen pass. That's a catch and run. Mm-hmm. That's not a catch down the field. So you were playing football as football is being played. We didn't have to count on some 1985, 1945 offense to get the job done. In fact, that was actually the part of the offense that was lacking.
Right.
The thing you're supposed to be able to do, run the football. No Ramondre Stevenson. You got the dancing bear back there and Antonio Gibson just hopping around, not actually gaining any yards.
I was getting Lawrence Maroney flashbacks from him yesterday.
Terrible.
That was it. Tap dancing was bad.
Terrible.
You know what's crazy? Patriots had more total offensive yards against the Dolphins than they did yesterday. Isn't that wild? Yeah.
It was only
like 8 more yards, but it was because of the running game.
It didn't feel like it.
It definitely didn't feel that
way.
Because they were passing the ball, but they couldn't run it at all. I don't blame May for that, obviously. It's because Stevenson wasn't in. But I expected a little bit more from Gibson. And I think this also goes back to the roster construction, which we've discussed, and how they could have fortified it a little more if they wanted to have a real run game and have that be something that they did, assuming that Stevenson misses a game here or there as an off game once or twice, or, I don't know, gets tired midway through the game from carrying the whole load. I think that would have been something they could have done. But I agree with largely mostly everything you said there. They are playing a modern game now. They do have a modern quarterback. They have a guy that you can look to and say, okay, after 5 weeks of Jacoby Brissett, after 5 weeks of watching that offense, there's something much better now. I just sort of feel like being better than Jacoby Brissett isn't quite, you still lost by 21 points. Like, you still got your ass handed to you yesterday by a good team. It's not like you lost to the Dolphins or to the Jaguars you play next week or, you know, one of these bottom-tier teams. But you went out there with your new present that you finally got to unwrap.
The Bugatti is out from under the carport.
He looks pretty good. I don't know about Bugatti. I'd say is maybe a bit of a stretch there.
What?
He had a couple of bad throws.
The Bugatti hadn't been running a while, so it had a little.
There was a couple of coughing.
Get the kinks out. Little smoke. The oil wasn't quite flowing. Whatever it might be.
Well, if we're
I told you pregame, he was going to have that pick.
That's
remember
true.
When I told you Quinn Ewers had the pick in the Red River rivalry?
Right.
Where those quarterbacks that either haven't played before or are rusty, excited, amped up, that throw over the middle is tailor-made for an interception.
That gave me Mac Jones flashbacks, one. That was a Mac Jones type of throw.
We're not comparing the 10s.
That was a Mac Jones type throw.
No, Drake May's a 10 out of 10. Mac Jones a 10 out of 100. That's the difference between those two 10s. They are nothing alike. And I don't want. We're not doing the comparisons. They couldn't be any more different personalities.
What are you talking about? We're doing
skill-wise.
The comparisons. I'll compare whatever I want.
They are.
I'll compare anything I want to. And by the way.
Compare an apple to an orange?
No, I'm not. I'm just saying.
Okay, that's what they are.
That looked like a Mac Jones throw, did it not?
No, it didn't.
It didn't really?
It looked like
air mailing one over the middle.
Like a Josh Allen throw.
Jones used to do?
You ever watched Josh Allen early in his career? That was a Josh Allen throw.
Fine. It was a Josh Allen throw back when he wasn't very good. That's the same thing.
That comparison I'll accept.
What's the difference? I think it was
the floater. Versus the laser.
There was a floater. That was a floater.
No, that was a laser.
He floated that
laser.
One. And by the way, some other ones that I thought in the short game.
That's
something he's got to work on.
I said to Fitzy in the postgame show, if you made me take like bet my mortgage on a throw, and I need Drake May to either complete a 40-yard touchdown into the bucket of booty, or you need him to complete like an 8-yard crosser, I would take the 40-yard throw. He's better at that throw. He just is. We saw it all summer on the training camp fields.
Yep.
Those intermediate throws, and even there, I give him credit. He talked about it post-game. First one across the middle was picked off. Horrific throw.
Bad throw.
Then there was a throw later to Douglas that Douglas has to come way behind him and catch it and removed any chance of run after catch. Then late.
Gibson had one like that, too.
Then late, he hits him right here. What happens? He catches it in stride, goes down the sideline for a touchdown. So I'm not saying, okay, we put the accuracy issues in the middle of the field behind him, like he already worked out those kinks. But I thought he showed some progress there. I do think, and everybody gives him a pass on the second interception. I do not.
I don't either.
Because the low arm angle thing he does.
Oh, it got popped up in the air. Don't throw it in a place where the guy can pop it up in the air.
Go
like
up
that.
Here.
On,
go up top. Like, get it over. Now, I know Will Anderson made a great play.
And he's a great player.
Right.
Yeah.
But
and that interception, the guy was getting blocked and caught.
Right,
that was
great
ridiculous.
Physical play.
Crazy
but to
play.
Me, it's the release point of the throw that I think is going to be an issue. I think he's going to have batted throws at times as we start to nitpick. But today is not about nitpicking. Today is about you got your first taste of Drake May.
Mm-hmm.
And really, the only criticism for me, because I told you there's going to be a couple different groups of people. What took so long or told you couldn't play him?
Right.
The told you couldn't play him better hide under a rock, Dan Orlovsky.
I haven't heard much from them today.
Yeah, because they have nothing they can say.
Right.
It would be pure idiocy. It would be idiocy to say anything like that. The people that have the argument today is, remind me again why we couldn't play him in week one. And I know Gerard Mayo told the morning show basically it was because the line sucked. But
which
guess
is
what?
A new thing now, by the way. He said the exact opposite of that
right.
a couple months ago.
And the line still sucks. I told you the line was going to suck all. You're signing guys and starting them. I don't know.
We had to wait until we found a guy who has been on the team for 3 days. That
badass
we
Ben
the
Brown.
Raiders, of the Raiders practice squad. That's when we knew the O-line
at
was
center,
right, ready to go.
At center for a team that asks the center to make all the calls.
Right.
So we threw a guy out there and basically said, you know the offense, right? You know all the calls. You're just like David Andrews. You know everything, all the changes, everything. You'll get it out to the guys. You got, what's his name? Zach Thomas. Not
right.
that one.
Not him, yeah.
Playing next to Michael Jordan. Not that one. And you got this center who just got here, and he's supposed to run the show out
and
there.
And who played pretty well, I thought, but yeah.
Gerard Mayo said he was their best offensive lineman. So good, they cut Nick Leverett.
Mm-hmm. Saw that. That's interesting. It's weird that they're cutting any offensive lineman on this team.
That's weird.
That's part of the issue here, and that's why I have mixed feelings about this game. I don't really have too many mixed feelings about May. Everything I just said was all the complaints I had about the actual game that he played. And that's all stuff I'm willing to look past.
Yeah.
That's all stuff I'm willing to look at and say it's his first game. That's the way it goes sometimes. You can't expect a rookie to walk in and not make any mistakes. All that's fine.
He had the best start since 1950 for a rookie QB. What was that number? First quarterback with 3 passing touchdowns and
since
led the
Ryan
team
Leaf
in rushing. No,
like
the
that.
Best since 50. He's the only guy that's done it with the 3 passing touchdowns and led his team in rushing.
Oh,
now,
okay.
Leading the team in rushing was
that
more.
That wasn't much, yeah. 38 yards.
It was kind of about how crappy the rushing game was and
right.
not how great he was. But he did a good job in that area. I thought he ran with a head about him. He wasn't running around like a chicken with his head cut off.
Picked a spot, some good scrambles, some good runs. It didn't seem like a lot of designed runs.
No, which I was disappointed
many, in. But yeah,
you want
like...
me to switch to negativity and criticism? The next guy that I'm going to have in my crosshairs in that way is I feel the same way about Alex Van Pelt as I did about Jacoby Brissett. Really nice guy. I'm not sure I want him to do his job anymore. Mm. I saw nothing from Alex Van Pelt. Like, you gave... You said they didn't look like the you know, fire drill at the end of the second quarter.
Right.
You know why? He had a quarterback who could make the throws. Mm-hmm. He had guys make. He was getting the ball down the field to guys that could run after catch, making plays.
Running a no huddle and just keeping it moving. Right.
Like, yeah. I don't know that Alex Van Pelt did anything any different. If anything, I hated the start of the game.
Handoff.
Like, what are you doing? If you want to get your rookie QB comfortable, run the wide zone boot on the first play of the game so he gets that little 5-yard throw and goes, oh, yeah, I can complete a pass on an NFL field. I'm not, you know, some dummy or whatever. Like, he admitted to you he was going to be nervous. The quarterbacks don't get less nervous, in my opinion, by going like this. They don't get less nervous till they drop back and actually throw a pass and realize, oh, it's still just football. There's still guys in front of me chasing me, still guys protecting me. So I think Alex Van Pelt, I didn't see anything I liked yesterday. And I'm not sure I've seen anything I like from him in, what are they now, 1-5?
So 1-5.
Six games, more than a third of the way through the season. So if you want to ask me to have mixed feelings, my mixed feelings are Drake May is tied to Alex Van Pelt for at least the next 11 games. And I don't know if I like that. Am I producing? Am I advancing? Am I developing? Or am I wasting time until the Giants fire Brian Daboll and I can hire him?
Yeah, that's fair. I think, in that same vein, that's part of my complaints too, obviously, is that the coaching staff, and I include Mayo, I don't think he had a good day yesterday at all. But, you know, Van Pelt, the roster construction, I just sort of feel like the makeup of this roster, and coaching staff for that matter, so it goes up even higher than just, you know, Elliot Wolf and all that, but I have things to say about him too. It's hard for me to see a great vision for the future that everybody else seems to see. He's surrounded by the worst offensive line in football, I think. I think he has the worst pass-catching group in football. I don't think, maybe you can make an argument, maybe one or two teams. I don't think there's a lot of other ones. Bottom four, bottom three, maybe, something like that. And people bristle past that, like, it's okay, Drake May's going to come in, he's going to fix it all.
Yeah.
Those two factors, I think, are going to hinder his development. I think that's going to hurt his development. When you don't have an offensive line that can get him used to the normal game speed, that can get you ready to hit guys deep down the field, which is really where he excels so far at this point in his career, you need time for guys to get down the field. You can't play action every time. There was a couple of times. There was one time where he did a play action and Hasty ran out, and then he ran up the middle and he pushed Hasty into the blocker. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Like on one of his scrambles, and I'm just sitting there going like, This is not going to work. Like you're going to have to pray week in and week out when you're going up against a half decent pass rush that this O-line can at the very least hold it together. 7 penalties in the first half?
Not good.
Like this is ridiculous. And if I had any belief that your plan about, you know, Drake May coming in and then T. Higgins and getting all these guys.
Did you watch Sunday Night Football? T. Higgins looked good enough
that I think the Bengals are just going to re-sign him and bring him back like everybody else does.
You're missing the point.
That's what every good wide receiver does.
You can't keep both, so you know what you're going to do?
They'll find a way.
No.
Yes, they will.
They suck enough so that they're going to have a top 10 or 12 pick. They're just going to try to do what Minnesota did and just draft another one and have Ja'Marr Chase and who, you know, the kid out of Arizona or one of these hot shot young receivers and call. That's the beauty of it. And T. Higgins looked like a number one receiver last night in my mind. You put him on this team, the Andy Hart plan is taking off.
All right. I mean, good receivers, I feel like, don't get traded anymore. That's a rarity.
Yeah, you're just going to sign
him. You don't see much of it, and I just don't feel like they're going to let him get to free agency. And if they do, who's to say that the Patriots are going to make the best offer? Like, I don't trust these guys. I don't trust the people putting this roster together. They didn't do it this last time. They thought this was an acceptable team to put around their rookie quarterback, and that, to me, kills all their credibility. I'm sorry.
Where can T. Higgins go where he gets a better opportunity to be a well-paid number one receiver with an elite young quarterback?
How about the Chiefs? It's not a young quarterback, but he's the number one guy right there.
I don't think
Kansas
the Chiefs
City.
Are giving him.
He'd
35.
Be the number one receiver in Buffalo. He'd be the number one receiver a whole bunch of places.
Buffalo's a good answer, but I'm not sure either of those two teams can give him $35 million a year like the Patriots can. I don't think he's going to get the if he wants to do that. And
if
would,
the Patriots were actually going to do that, then I'd feel good about
they're
it.
They're absolutely going to do that.
Are they?
Absolutely. Yeah, why do you doubt the Indy Hart plan?
I don't doubt you. I'm doubting them. I'm doubting them because of this offseason and what they've done here. And I guess you're buying into them. So, yeah, I am doubting you. But, like, what I'm seeing here is a team that just thought that this would be accepted, that this would work.
I don't think so.
I really don't.
I think you're seeing a team that sneaky tanked. I don't think they wanted to have a great roster. They weren't going to put together a mediocre roster to win 5 games. They'd rather win 2 games, get a number one pick or a number two overall pick, and have the money to spend on legit talent, not waste it on guys. Now, the offense –
and they had money to spend this offseason on legit talent, and they didn't.
I just don't know what legit talent we're talking – I'm with Mayo.
It's not Austin Hooper. It's not Antonio Gibson.
Did you hear Mayo this morning when he said, like, everybody says they wanted us to sign players. Who'd you want us to sign? We signed the best offensive lineman. You can make that argument. Now, I don't think he's played up to his contract.
Doesn't look like the best offensive lineman.
That's where I get into coaching and the scheme. And I don't know, Scott Peters, Alex Van Pelt. I don't know what's going on there. But, you know, Calvin Ridley, you want him?
Yes.
This is effing ridiculous. I need effing targets in the effing beginning of the effing first quarter of the effing game.
Oh, wow. A Diva wide receiver. Oh, my God. Like, they don't have two of those already.
You know what I like about Diva wide receivers?
Calvin Ridley.
Talent, and he doesn't have Diva talent.
Yes, he does. He is just more talented than anybody you have.
Oh, absolutely. But that's a terrible bar.
I don't think so.
He's like the worst number one receiver in football.
Well, then you have to give your guy something. Your number one receiver right now is who?
You don't have to give your guy
something.
Your
number one wide receiver right now is who?
Bourne.
Bourne, and
probably.
He's worse than Calvin Ridley?
Bourne is definitely worse than Calvin Ridley.
So then he's not the worst number one receiver
in football.
Pop Douglas
is. Well, I don't think any of these are number ones. He's paid like a number one.
Fine.
He's actually got $30 million a year or whatever the hell he collected down
right.
there.
Right, and that's had something to do with
and
the time
like
he
four
was a
catches
free
since week
But, I mean,
two.
You can just keep saying, everybody keeps saying that, well, you know, if you had signed Jonah Williams, then he'd be injured right now, and that wouldn't have made much sense.
I haven't said that. That's the one that I would
have
signed Jonah Williams.
Fine.
That's the one I think they should have signed because I don't think it would have hindered you in any way long term. Any way at all. But if you sign...
I don't think Ridley would have hindered you long term.
See, I do, because A, you're giving him... It's $90 million. $90 million, a lot of money. That's eating away at your cap space. I'd much rather give T. Higgins whatever the hell he wants, because the last thing I'd want is them to say, oh, we can't get T. Higgins because we got Calvin Ridley. I don't want Calvin Ridley. I think T. Higgins could be an actual number one.
Them so saying we can't get T. Higgins because we have Calvin Ridley is a them problem, not a Calvin Ridley problem. Because you'd be able to get both of those guys. You have enough space for that. You can do that.
You have to pick and choose where you're going to
spend. You have a rookie quarterback. This is how you do it. I mean, you get DJ Moore
but you need
and
more.
Keenan Allen.
You need a pass rusher. You need a defense. You need an entire offensive
line.
That's
true, and that's why
I can't draft all of them.
That's why I'm not happy today. That's why I'm not happy today, Andy. That's exactly the reason
I think there's more to it than that, and this is a you problem.
The defense sucks. I'm sorry. That defense
kinda
got
does.
Absolutely carved up
especially
yesterday
those first
from
two.
The very beginning of the game to the end of the game. I mean, that was a brutal, brutal showing from a secondary that I expected more from. Gonzalez didn't look good. Jones, who we're going to talk to, I thought had a rough day. Marcus Jones also had a rough day. These guys are getting scorched by two guys. It was really just Dell and Diggs. That's it. And no one could add any answer for them whatsoever. There was no pass rush to speak of. There was really nothing. This team, I feel like, is more than one offseason away from competing. And by the time they finally put something respectable together, I feel like you're going to have to be making a decision about Drake May and his fifth-year option. And I don't know if by then it's even going to be worth it. Like, that's my problem here. I'm looking into the future, and I don't like what I see.
What do you mean not worth it?
Not worth it to give him a big fat contract when here you are. It's been 3 years. You probably missed the playoffs each time. You're picking in the top 10, top 15. You haven't rebuilt the roster enough because you're unwilling to go spend or you're missing on wide receivers in the drafts like they do every single year. And I just don't feel good about it. I don't feel good about the future here. I think Drake May is a good player. The rest of the team, I don't trust. I don't trust them, and I don't trust them to make it better.
So I love Drake May. I think you're already – I already see enough signs. I think Drake May is going to get his – in a world where Trevor Lawrence gets a contract and these guys get contracts,
you think Jacksonville wants that contract back?
They made a bad decision. Drake May is better than Trevor Lawrence. You heard it first.
We'll see
it on Sunday in Wembley when he outshoots him. There's questions about this roster.
Might be going against Mac Jones at Wembley.
To me, the one simple question that I can't definitively answer or defend is do you trust Elliot Wolf? To me, that's the biggest question facing this team right now. There's actually two of them. The Alex Van Pelt issue, developing Drake May in the offense. Do you waste a year and then start over? Because I think we all know the history of when you give a quarterback multiple coordinators early in his career,
right?
You're kind of pushing him down the bust path.
You're playing with fire when you
absolutely.
Do that. Yeah, sure.
But the bigger issue for me is Elliot Wolf, because I think he absolutely has the tools at his disposal to enact the Andy Hart plan or the Elliot Wolf plan or the Jerod Mayo plan or the Jonathan Kraft plan between draft picks and spending. But do you trust him to do it? Because based on this offseason, there's questions. And it's not about what he spent or who he spent on. It's that the ignoring of left tackle to me was a cardinal sin. Then you go back and people are like, what does it matter if they cut Nick Leverett? Well, they signed him to be a guy on this team.
Right.
Like, it wasn't a lot of money. But you targeted him as a either backup offensive lineman or fill-in starter.
Mm-hmm.
And now, by week six, you've said, I don't want him anymore.
Yeah.
The other guy you targeted asked to leave
a month ago,
quit on you, and stunk. You said he was a left tackle. You didn't make it through the first game with him at left tackle. You pulled his ass immediately.
And that wasn't all done because they were trying to tank this year. Those were moves that were made in earnest trying to make that O-line better. I don't think they signed Chuks Okorafor saying, oh, I bet this guy's going to quit in week three.
No.
He's going to suck and that we're going to lose a bunch of games because he can't play. I don't think that's why they signed him.
I think they thought he's fine enough to play, We're not probably going to win games because of him, but we can put him out there more often than not.
And we also don't want to pay big money for Jonah Williams or Tyron Smith or any of the other actual
tackles. Well, Tyron Smith wouldn't come here. Jonah Williams.
If you paid him enough, he probably would have.
I don't think he would have.
I think you, if you would blow away the Jets off, I think you could have.
I think he wanted to go to a team. Well, I don't want to blow away
the Jets.
The Jets
were so good last year. The Jets missed the playoffs, too.
They were a perceived Super Bowl contender. I mean, that's the reality. They have a talented roster. That's why their head coach was canned.
Fine. But they also missed the playoffs last season. And they weren't considered. I know, but they weren't considered some kind of juggernaut team, I don't think.
No, but they're a Super Bowl contender.
They're better than you. I mean, yeah, they're better than the Patriots.
Top to bottom, they blow you out of the water, talent-wise.
Tyron Smith, though, in a league where everybody's looking for tackles, the Jets is the only team you'd sign with? Come on.
No.
If you made him a good enough offer, I bet he would have come here.
I would like to get his agent on the line.
Fine.
Ask him, because I don't think there's a shot in hell. Like, the other guys, the running backs, I don't think there's a shot in hell you were getting any of the good running backs. We talked about the other day, maybe Tony Pollard, or when you get down to sort of that level.
I would have taken Pollard yesterday.
Or Zeke Elliott, who's averaging 1 yard a carry in Dallas and looks like he's toast again after a nice season here. So, but I don't think they were all in on building a roster that they thought could win 8 games. I think they were all in on building a roster that they thought they could play competent football and still get a high draft. I think they told you so many times
they're
without telling you
competent football.
This was they did it on Sunday. You see Drake May?
Yeah, Drake May did.
Man's a stud.
And here's the problem, and this is it.
Should give him $100 million
right now. Drake May made his debut yesterday. That was his first game. The rest of that team's been playing for a month plus.
Not Terrell Jennings.
Except for Terrell Jennings.
I'd never heard of him until Thursday.
Other than him, then the rest of the team.
Or Ben Brown.
52, 50-ish guys have been playing for a month plus, okay? You get what I'm saying here? And they haven't gotten any better. All right, Drake May came in. He was the best player on the field by far on a team that I think is more than one offseason away from supporting him, and that's my problem with this. I think he looked good, and I think he deserves better than this, and we'll get more into this as the show goes on.
You're a hater.
617-77, not of Drake May. I like him.
I'm the homer and the hater.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. We got open phone lines for you here. Are you with me? Do you feel like this team has failed Drake May, or are you with Andy and think that everything's going exactly according to plan? 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We will talk with Drake May today. We will hear it right from the horse's mouth. I believe he's going to be coming in here. We'll talk to him live in studio. Jonathan Jones will be speaking to as well, and we'll be speaking to you again at 617-779-7937 here. It's a Patriots Monday, live from Gillette on WEEI.